We have got languishing throughout Europe children who didn't make that choice in freezing cold conditions, going hungry in mudfest fields that are just rotting away. And I've always said my point is this. If we can get these children now at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, you know, and get them educated and maybe, you know, I'm not saying westernized. I don't want to use that word, but, you know, just getting them into a safe environment where we can begin to rebuild their lives. That's the way forward. Because if we don't do that, one day in the not too distant future, these children are going to be adults and they're going to look back and they're going to be still wandering around Europe thinking, you know, you let us rot in these, in throughout Europe, you allowed us to go hungry and cold, and you allowed us to rot in hell, and then it's going to backfire.
In your view, has David Cameron done enough to help refugees travelling across Europe and people in Syria?
He hasn't done enough. He's talked a lot. He's talked an awful lot about it, but you know, I've been talking about getting a new car for years, but I'm not going to. You know, I won't get one.
You've been out there, you've seen it firsthand, you know how bad it is. Mm. What needs to be done from our side, do you think?
We need to work with France to put a makeshift British, not embassy, but processing point in each camp, because these people will queue. They will queue for days to be interviewed to start the asylum process, either in France or in, you know, in the UK. Now, people might say, well, you can't do that, or it's extraordinary that you're saying that. But, you know, these are extraordinary times. And in extraordinary times, extraordinary things need to happen. And it's just going to get worse and worse. Unless, I mean, the government aren't doing anything. They're just not interested. It's a big problem for France and Europe in general. I mean, I feel somewhat sorry for France because this has been put on their doorstep and Europe and their European counterparts has been slow to react. Germany stood up first. Germany did what Britain should be doing. But unfortunately, Britain has been fed a load of media. You know, from the media, I always call us rhubarb. You know, we're kept in the dark and fed with, you know what, through the media, because we've been fed images of young men trying to get on trains and on trucks and, you know, young men walking in their droves. We haven't been fed the human side, which is the children in the camps, you know, with usually just one parent or on their own.
And while you were over in France, did you know about the sort of media sort of circus, as it were, that was circling around your story?
While I was in the French prison, you mean? No, not at all. I didn't know, because I was locked away in the detention centre and I came out. And then when I got back to my house, I kind of locked my doors and shut my curtains for probably a week. I didn't watch any television. I didn't switch any computer on. And then when I finally came out of my... came from back under my rock, so to speak, it just went ballistic. So I must be getting 1,000+ messages a day, no exaggeration, from Argentina to Australia. I've got media interest from Japan, China, Russia. I've done Russian TV, Australian TV. I've done Fox News in the US, CNN in the US, all over Europe. You know, it's just, and it's still going on now. So what I've decided to do is, you know what? Yeah, shout.
And how has life been for you since you've been back in Leeds?
Oh, crazy. It's just crazy. But that's because I've realised that we have a platform now. I've got thousands of people working with me. I don't say behind me, because I don't see myself as a figurehead or anything like that. I'm just, you know, a normal kind of guy who lives in a rented house. So I always say I've got thousands upon thousands of people working with me to get this platform into the media headline. And I have seen a turn in a corner with the media now, because we are moving away from images of young men clambering on trucks and trains and what have you, and we're moving towards images of forlorn child refugees, which can only be a good thing, because it gets the human side over. I'm happy with that, and I'm going to continue that.
And when you were sitting in your cell in France, did you ever think that you'd be in this position back home, being able to help people in the way that you are?
Well, I don't see it like that. First of all, when I was in the cell, I was just numb. because I've never been, you know, I mean, and it's not like a cell. I mean, those French, you know, police and the undercover police, you know, they're not polite, so to speak. So it's kind of a rough do that was. But, yeah, when I was in that cell, I was a bit numb. Didn't know what the direction was. So, yeah, and then when I came out and came from behind my locked doors, it all just, like I say, kicked off.
How do you see yourself now, do you think?
Just still plain old Rob, you know? I never wanted to be famous. I wanted a little girl in a bed with a family. But I am just plain old Rob. And I went out for to a small place in Ilkley last night, to a pub, to meet someone, and we'd had a bite to eat. And I think by the time the fourth couple or the fourth person came up to me and said, "You did right, you did, you know, you're a good man," and all that, they were like, "Okay, do you get this all the time?" And yeah, I do get it all the time, but I never want that. I don't want to be famous. I'd rather the agenda be famous. But if the two have to work symbiotically, then that's how it's going to be.
And do you know anything about Brew? Have you been in touch, or is there any way of getting in contact with her at all?
Yeah, I talk via a translator every day. She's well. Her father's not well. He fell over in the camp and smashed his leg to bits, so he's in pot and on crutches and in a bad way, a real bad way. He's having to inject himself in the back every day for pain relief. And you can imagine how hard that would be with a four-year-old. So, yeah, I gave them a mobile phone with a number, and I gave two mobile phones, one to an Afghan English speaker and one to Reza. So we contact every day to see how he is, see if they need anything. Because, you know, you've probably heard this, I say this all the time, that, you know, we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. You know, at this point in time, they're my someone. So although I'm concentrating on, you know, the agenda of child refugees, I'm also concentrating very heavily on the welfare of Brew and her dad. Until they're safe in this country, hopefully, through legal means, and then I'll find another someone.